Hi, I'm Hugh Weber. Welcome to the Potluck Society. Each week in partnership with South Dakota Public Broadcasting, we bring you a story of ordinary people building extraordinary communities. This week, we have a journey story. We spoke to Amy Jo Martin at her home near Hill City, South Dakota, but her story is best told from the beginning. Please welcome Amy Jo Martin.
Do you mind if I just start for context that I grew up in Wyoming? Because I think it's okay.
That'd be great.
Born in Wyoming, small town, lived with a family that moved often due to my father's job, and his career took us all over the United States. We lived in a mobile home, and I think that's when I look back now and realize I became a little addicted to change, which served me well in technology down the road.
Right out of the gate, it's clear that Amy Jo is unique. She is the only human being I've ever heard say that she's addicted to change. Let's go back to her story.
Fast forward, lived in Kansas, lived in Arizona, back to Wyoming, and ended up going to Arizona State University on a full ride academic scholarship to the number one party school in America. So that was quite an interesting place to attend school, going from small town to big party, and found myself working in ad agencies and then working for the Phoenix Suns in the 2005-2006 season. So working in the NBA for a few seasons, I started experimenting with social communication, and my job didn't really outline that was what I was supposed to be doing, but somehow I talked them into creating a new position called the Director of Digital Media and Research. And this was made up completely. It was the first of its kind in the NBA. And I started experimenting and realized, wow, this thing is powerful. This was 2007, 2008.
Just to give you a sense of how far ahead of the curve Amy Jo was, when they invented her position with the NBA, there were only 400,000 tweets being tweeted per quarter of the year. Just less than 2 years later, there were over 50 million tweets happening per day. She wasn't just a trendsetter, she was clairvoyant. And she had a bit of a genie to walk alongside her.
Shaquille O'Neal, the basketball star, was playing for the team at the time, and I got a call one day while I was sitting at my cubicle. I pick up the phone and it's basketball operations. They said, "Hey, can you come down here and teach Shaquille O'Neal how to tweet? He's in the locker room and he wants to meet you. You're the only one in this building that knows what that means." So, hang up the phone and thought, all right. Well, little did I know that elevator ride to the locker room was about to change my life, because from that point on, everything just amplified it and changed. I started working with him, sharing various strategies and ideas, and we created Random Acts of Shaqness, where we would tweet his whereabouts and have fans meet up with him on the street corner. And traditional media was just kind of stunned and dumbfounded, didn't know what to do with this space, so they were covering it, and the media would show up.
I remember this window of time very distinctly. I would follow Shaq online. I would see him tweet his whereabouts or share them with the people following along. And then the next day, you would see this barrage of video clips from average users and followers, but also from CNN and other large-scale media companies. And Shaq wasn't the only one developing a following through this point. Amy Jo was becoming somewhat of a celebrity herself.
Next thing I know, I myself have about 1 million people following me on Twitter, and I'm starting to consider, maybe starting my own company. And in fact, I did one day have a text message exchange with Shaquille after my boss called me a renegade. And that's when I burned my boat.
Okay, we're going to come back to the idea and definition and type of person that Amy Jo sees as a renegade, but I can't leave behind this idea of burning your boats.
Oh, what's so cool about that rule of burning your boats is that most Renegades, they don't know what they're going to do next. They just know they need to publicly share that they're going to do it because they'll always figure it out, right? So you don't have to have a full plan. You just need to take that first step and you'll figure it out once that pressure's on. So I like that. I think I've found that the more we operate in that space, it's just trusting that you can do it.
Amy Jo burning her boats and starting her company Digital Royalty proved to be a pretty wise call.
Started the company in 2009 and had the company for about 7 years. We grew. We were in Phoenix, then we moved to downtown Las Vegas as a part of the downtown project, who is led by Tony Hsieh, the CEO of Zappos. He was a mentor and a friend, and he became an investor. The company was pretty much profitable from day one because it was just me, and then I would add another employee and slowly add organically. And, we were doing seven figures in the second year of the company.
Digital Royalty was everywhere during this window of time, and Amy Jo was rapidly becoming the first social media celebrity and superstar.
At this time, I think I was on 210 flights in 1 year, speaking on the topic of social media all over the world, doing public speaking, kind of living that life of spotlight and fancy people all around and flying private on jets to Australia.
She was a renegade, literally writing the rules. And she wrote a book that immediately became a bestseller called Renegades Write the Rules, that Tony Hsieh of Zappos wrote the foreword to. These 8 rules that she defined included: get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, to me, is at the most meta level, it's innovation. So whether you're innovating yourself or it's a company or, a situation, you really can't innovate without adversity. And so it's so important for us to stretch ourselves. And that's discomfort, really. But I guess one thing I've noticed with Renegades I've been around, and I guess myself as well, is just because it's scary doesn't necessarily mean it can hurt you. And there's a big difference between that. I mean, we're not in our saber-toothed tiger days anymore where fight or flight is literally you might die, so be scared. It's, I'm scared to go stand in front of this group and share my idea. What's the worst thing that could happen? You might be a little embarrassed if you don't share it exactly how you think or someone disagrees. Like, you're going to be okay. Most likely that's not going to happen. And even if it does, it's okay. So I think getting comfortable with being uncomfortable is something that is just all about personal expansion.
It would be just a couple months later when this rule of getting comfortable with being uncomfortable would be extremely helpful to Amy Jo herself, as she encountered her own moment of needing personal expansion.
It was a pretty big aha moment. One day I was at the JFK airport and I was looking at the departure board and I just couldn't remember where I was and I couldn't remember where I was going. And this had happened before, but the next thing I did is I walked over to Starbucks, buy my coffee because I was averaging about 4 hours of sleep. And I went to sign my debit card receipt and pay for the coffee, and I couldn't remember my name. And my world was just, all of a sudden, it became very clear, this wasn't working. it took a lot of, okay, what's going on here? It's hard to scale a company with one person at kind of the top. And although we had about 30 employees, 10 of which were in different countries. It was pure burnout. And I didn't know why I was doing what I was doing. I didn't even know my name. And, I joke about it now, but it was a pretty crazy realization of who am I? And I was kind of putting on a show. You have social media and the outside wasn't matching the inside.
This was a renegade who had literally written the rules about showing some skin and unmasking your motives to be more human through social media. And she was finding the disconnect in her own work.
The image that we put out there sometimes starts to elbow out the real person. And that's, I mean, that's where I had to have my own why not now moment. And so that's when I decided this is a time to exit the company.
We'll come back to Amy Jo's journey in just a couple minutes. But first, I want her to drill deeper into this idea around social media. She has defined her company, her career, in some cases her identity, around this tool set. And I know she has more to say.
Having the outside match the inside, in large part, was because of social media. You know, it's personal branding and you want to brand accordingly. And when we do that, we put an image out there of ourselves, literally and figuratively, that is static. And it's a best case scenario, photoshopped, perfect, unreal image. And so trying to live up to that is impossible. And when you start to see the delta between the real you and the image you put out there, sometimes it's painful, but it's also damaging to people around you. So the amount of comparison that we have as individuals on social media, you know, you're scrolling down Instagram and it's the sea of sameness, right? You have this inner circle of people that maybe you really know, which sometimes are few and far between. And then you have this next circle of the perfect, you know, this and someone who's doing that and their life seems so wonderful and amazing. And before you know it, you're 30 minutes in and you're looking at someone's family barbecue in Oklahoma that you don't even know, and you're comparing yourself to them. And so I really believe, I don't know who wrote this quote, but they said, comparison is the thief of joy. And it's so true.
So Amy Jo made this change, a dramatic change, both professionally and personally, from a place of comparison to a place of curiosity. But she did know that it would include some of her very favorite kind of people, the renegades.
Most of my career, I've been working with these individuals who I call renegades. They have a renegade mentality, and I'm almost obsessively curious about what makes them tick. And I'm not talking about, you know, fluffy inspirational quotes that you see on Instagram. Like, I really want to dive in and dissect and understand, you know, what exactly were you thinking when you made that decision, or what was your first step? So having worked with some of the most successful kind of people out there, and in terms of them being able to do what they want to do in life, I've become so curious. And that was the genesis of why not now, because I think there's this moment between idea and execution when you go from dreaming to doing. And it's a pretty short bridge, but how we navigate across it and how we navigate through that process can be really tricky and messy and scary. So I just thought, wow, I've been having these conversations for a long time. What if I have them a little bit more publicly and more people can learn from the people I've been learning from?
The Why Not Now podcast is everywhere. It's exploded. You can download it anywhere. But there's something more interesting to me about the beauty and simplicity of Amy Jo rediscovering the joy she finds in change and curiosity.
I think I had been on the other side of the microphone and on the other side of the camera quite a bit over the last decade, and the spotlight was on me. I was in the other chair being interviewed, and I'm definitely ready for a shift. It's a challenge, obviously, to learn something new and kind of how to ask questions and just dive deep into someone's story to try and learn. But I think one of the bigger things was I was just ready to take the other side. And I think the ego kind of came into play and got a little big over the years. I enjoy conversation so much and realize, you know, audio is the way of the future. You know, people are listening to podcasts now in numbers that are unbelievable, and it's only just begun. So I believe in that innovation. But I think I was ready for the other side of the fence.
Amy Jo has interviewed over 50 people, from Mark Cuban to Tony Robbins. But today, I'm still asking the questions. And so I asked her a signature question I have. What is exciting you so much that it's keeping you up at night?
So what I'm so excited about that keeps me up at night is I realize that our society, we romanticize this way of operating in a constant grind and a hustle. And I feel like I've learned a secret, and that it actually isn't supposed to be that hard. And this always on mentality and this, you know, you can only sleep X amount of hours and you must grind, and it's just not true. And I subscribed to it for so long and it almost killed me, right? So I have a lot of entrepreneurial friends, and that's been kind of my community because I am one, and I feel like I just want to tell them all. When we find that intersection where purpose, passion, and skill collide, and just ease up a little bit and focus a little bit more on the energy and bigger picture, I've learned there's a different way. And it actually is more enjoyable, it's healthier, it's more productive, and it's the way to go, right? So that's what I just want to go tell everyone, is that, yeah, you don't have to subscribe to the grind and sacrifice every hour, every day.
Let's tie up one last part of Amy Jo's story. She was on that houseboat and decided she needed to be a little more grounded.
And it was time to live on land, and it was like, where am I going to go and actually get to know myself again? And that was the Black Hills, South Dakota. That's what I consider home, where my parents grew up. I came to South Dakota every summer, many times a summer, visiting our family cabin here. And so here I am.
We are so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us, Amy Jo. And we can't wait to continue to listen along on your voyage and journey of self-discovery. This week's Action Antidote is just a little bit different. I'm going to ask you to join me live. That's right, live, a live potluck society. On December 1st, from 7 to 10 p.m., South Dakota Public Broadcasting will host the Potluck Society Live for an evening of conversation, connection, and celebration. This event builds on a network developed over the past decade through an organization called ODA and has now been extended through South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're excited to welcome the creators of the Viral Kid President series and co-founder of the Montague Workshop, Brad Montague. We're going to enjoy a conversation with the founder of the Boys Institute of Washington, D.C., Marshall Pollard, and the creator of the Better Block Foundation, Jason Roberts, as well as Rapid City artist and Bush Fellow, Tyler Reed, owner and curator of Racy Magpie Gallery, Mary Bordeaux, the publisher of South Dakota Magazine, Katie Hunhoff, and a performance by South Dakota's own The Nesters, Eliza Blue and Jamie Lynn. You've heard many of these voices here on the Potluck Society, and now you can hear them in person on stage at a live event. You can learn more about this event and buy one of the limited number of tickets at sdpb.org/potluck. We do hope we'll see you there. Thanks this week to the team at South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and a special thanks to Ryan Howlett and the team at Friends of South Dakota Public Broadcasting for supporting the Potluck Society live event. It will be unbelievable to see each of you in person. But until then, it's been great seeing you here at the Potluck Society. I do hope we'll see you soon. And as always, don't forget to bring an idea to pass.